Blog Talk Radio.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones, one on another. Stacked them stones. Stacked them stones, one on another. Stacked them stones for you and me, for the children to see.
Yes, ma'am. Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that song. Amen. And we're praying and trusting we're on the air. And Lord willing, we ain't gonna have no trouble, I hope, this week. We're praying. I don't know what it is. It could be this phone thing that I have set up over here. Last week we had 5 minutes that run with a bunch of noise. We're gonna try to monitor it a little bit closer this time and try to keep up with it. In case it does that, then, because we'll have to hang up and call back in. That's what we had to do the last time. So we apologize for the noise, and I hope you listen to the broadcast. And don't forget to tune in on Sunday mornings on the same broadcast. Sunday morning at 11:30, I believe. Brother Brandon Teague, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, will be preaching live. It's been a blessing every time I've got to listen to him. And so anyways, I'm Brother Wally Langford, and we are trying to get things going here. Seems like I'm always having to deal with some stuff before I get on and trying to get things taken care of. But I'm glad I'm saved. I hope you're saved tonight. If you're not, I pray that you'll let the Lord deal with your heart and you get saved. And I pray that the Lord really convict your heart. I hope everybody's on my Facebook and seeing where we posted this, let everybody know we're on it. You know, we're going to be preaching on the air, and Lord willing, we're going to be preaching, I think, until through February, and see what the Lord does after that. That's our plans anyways. I mean, the Lord could change, you know, in a matter of seconds. So you never know what might be around the corner. But that's our plans as of right now, and to be on until, like I said, somewhere around February. So we're going to just do the best we can until, you know, until then. And like I said, we're hoping and praying we don't have no trouble tonight. I've preached all over the world before and on internet radio, on shortwave radio. I used to preach in AM, FM stations and cities and stuff I lived in. And it seemed like you get to preaching the true word of God, and it's like the devil fights you, and he's, you know, he tries to fight in the air. And so there are rulers, you know, of darkness, but we do trust God. I believe what God told me. I do have power and authority over the devils. They have no power and no authority on me. I know a lot of people fear the devil more than they fear God, even in churches. And anyways, I'm going to give you as the Lord gives to me. We're still dealing with the end days, the last days. I believe we're living in the last days before Christ comes back. And I believe we're going to go through some stuff before he does. I don't think we're going to be raptured out of here immediately. I'm not saying we're going through the Great Tribulation, but I do know we're going to go through some tribulation. And I think that the people of America, Christians, I should say, They got this idea because we live in America that I don't know where they got the idea that we're just going to be raptured out of here before any bad stuff ever happens to us. But I think, how dare you, you know, even think that you know, it's like over there in India and other countries and where people are dying right now, this very minute, for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and we act like we're untouchable here because we used to call ourselves America. And that we're this great nation. You know, I think America's Babylon myself, when the Bible speaks about the Revelation, whereas in Babylon the Great has fallen, that great nation. Now, I've never heard any other nation be called that great nation other than America. Now, I might be wrong on that, but I'm just telling you what I read and what I've read over the years and studying and looking, and I'm not going to say I'm not wrong. I mean, I believe I'm right, but... I will, I'll know one day, you know, and then it won't matter, will it? I mean, I don't believe there's a set time. I don't think anybody knows, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself don't even know when he's coming back. But we see a lot of things going on in our country and the world, and it shows me that Christ is coming. But it says, and I'll read the scriptures to you, so you know, if you want to argue, you'll be arguing with the Word of God. And so, but anyways, I just thank God, like I said, that I'm saved. I thank the Lord that God is coming back. I thank God that we won't have to be here for eternity, that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, praise God. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, this whole place over here, down here, is going to burn up, so don't be loving this place down here. You know, and so, anyways, I don't want to lose my places. I was headed somewhere a while ago, and now I'm talking about this, but I'm just glad I'm saved. And so I praise God for those that are listening and tuned in. I hope I can be a blessing. I know most of the time I'm not. To a lot of folks, because they got sin in their life. I do preach on sin. I preach against sin. I hate sin. I hate the devil. You know, you might love the devil. I don't. I hate him. I preach against him. I don't fear him. I don't fear man. I fear God. I fear the one that can cast both body and soul into hell. And I thank God that I'm saved, that I can't go to hell. You know, I will never see hell. I'm not going to walk through hell before I go to heaven. There's some people out there teaching that you have to go to hell before you go to heaven. That's a total lie. I haven't found that in scriptures yet. You know, so anyways, I believe that's heresy. And I'm going to call the man's name out here in a little bit if I feel like the Lord had me to. But he's teaching that, and it's going around, and these other, what they call great preachers, you know, they endorse this guy's book on that, and I think he's a heretic, and he ought to be exposed, and his name is Joey Foss. He's a liar and a deceiver, and I called his name. That's what he is. You can check it out. You know, if you believe that, you got a problem. That's heresy. I'm not going to hell at all. My feet will never touch hell. My body will not feel the flames of hell anywhere in that Bible, and so... But anyways, I'm going to preach, okay? And so I'm going to put my phone down because I'll get to preaching here in a minute, and it might get loud. I hope I'm just going to preach, okay? I'm not going to worry about it. I sit here and I've struggled the last 2 weeks about things. I'm just going to preach and preach to you what God gave to me and everything. I've studied for a long time. I've been saved for 30 years, and I've studied this Bible for that long, and I believe that we're going to be here. We're not going to be raptured out of here when things start getting bad. American Christians believe that they're going to be out of here for some reason, and I say this, and if you do write me on Facebook, I want to know, I want to see the scriptures that you say that we're going to be out of here during the tribulation. I'm not talking about the tribulation period. I'm talking about the tribulation of God's people. Jesus said that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution. The people that I've ever read about in the Bible, and the scriptures are so plain on what it says, that it says that we're not going to be out of here when these things come to pass. We're going to be here suffering. God's not going to let us go because we're in America. You know, I get so tired of hearing that they think somewhere in these schools or something, in these, what they call Bible colleges, is teaching people we're going to be raptured out of here before tribulation starts. And I don't believe that. I used to believe that, but I don't believe it anymore. Amen. I don't believe it. I don't care if you do or not. You're not going to be raptured out of here before the is the word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us tonight, Lord. Be my mouthpiece, God. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. This is why I believe what I do. Jesus said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Many shall come in my name, and they're doing that today. There's a lot of people saying they're Christ, and it ain't just in Jehovah's Witnesses, and it ain't just in the Catholicism. It's not just in Mormonism. It's all over the country, man, all over the world. People are saying, I'm Jesus. You got Maitreya saying he's God. You got a guy down there over in another country. You got a guy that lives in Florida saying he's God. You got people all over the place saying they're Jesus Christ. You got people walking this earth right here in America saying, I'm Jesus. Some of them wear white robes and walk in sandals and say, I'm Jesus. Jesus told his disciples of this day, today, this generation shall not pass until all these things will be fulfilled. But when ye shall hear wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Now, how hard is that to understand? You're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. We're hearing it more and more and more and more and more every day. So that's been going on. I'll get to that in a minute. I've been told these things have already been done. These things are already passed. Well, if that's so, then we're in the great tribulation. We're going to go through the tribulation period. I don't believe that. I believe we're going through exactly everything that God said we're going to go through right now. And like I said a while ago, you know, look, there were some guys talking a while ago. Listen, Jesus don't even know when he's coming back. We can't even put the hours on there. We can't say it's 3.5 years from now. You're putting a time limit on it. And God never showed a time limit in the Word of God. He never did. Jesus does not even know the time he's coming back. And I throw this out there too, amen. While I'm hitting on that, let me tell you something. There's God, there's Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. I believe they're all one, but I believe the three identities. How can Jesus be on God's hand if it's just one body and one head? How can Jesus or God be the head of Christ and Christ be the head of man if there's only one body? I believe Jesus Christ is up there sitting right beside God. From what I read in the scriptures. Amen. How can God look at Jesus then if there's only one body and one head? Some people think God's got three heads. He don't. He got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they are one. Just like Jesus said to tell the Father we're one. God made man as we are, one. We are one. We're one with Christ. But there's three identities there, Father, Son, and man. Is that not correct? Did not Jesus say that? Make them as us was one. But when you shall hear wars, and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. If the end is not by and by, you'll hear these things, but it's not here yet, guys. I mean, we're going through it now. What Jesus had told the disciples then, we're going through it now. That's like I was saying last week. When you read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, it talks about the vision that God gives to them. He said, take this vision that I give unto them, write it on a tablet, and they'll read it, and they'll turn and run from it. It's not for that appointed time that man read that. It's for another appointed time, but it will come to pass. Exactly what God said is doing, too. They're taking the visions that God has given the people on these signs on the streets across the world, and they're preaching to them. It wasn't for then, it's for now. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. I preached this over 20 years ago. About earthquakes, about tornadoes, about hurricanes. I was up in Michigan. You didn't hear about tornadoes very much when I was growing up in Michigan. They started hearing about tornadoes in places that there never was a tornado. He started hearing about earthquakes. We're hearing about earthquakes. And another one just hit California. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. And famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Even when Joel prophesied, that's part of it too. I'm trying to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to give it to you now. He talks about the last days. It's in Acts chapter 2. In the last days, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And then what? See, they like that part right there, but your sons and your daughters prophesy. And they say, well, my daughter and these women say, well, I'm a preacher. No! That's not what it means. It doesn't show that a woman's allowed to preach in a church house. No, it don't. Can it read? Now, what place in the Bible can you ever find a woman preaching in the church? Not one place. Deborah was not in the church. Deborah was a leader. But Deborah also, when it came time, let me share this with you. When it came time, when Deborah, I believe his name was Barak. Barak was a feminist or a feminine man. He didn't want to go out and do the battle. He didn't want to go out in the battle. Read it. You people talk about Deborah. Read it. What'd she tell him? Well, the Lord told you to go do it, Barak. He said, well, I want you to go do it. She said, I'll go do it, but there's no glory in it. Read it. It says that, oh, but we don't want to preach about that. Now, we want to preach about Deborah being a preacher. Now, she wasn't a preacher. You can't find that in that scripture. Nowhere. She went out and fought a battle, and she told Barak to his face that there was going to be no glory in it. Why? She said, because a woman's doing it. And I'm not trying to blast women. I'm not trying to be ugly tonight. I'm not trying to be ugly towards women. But I'll tell you this, God has a standard set up, and God has headship stood up, and man, that's just the way it is. And the feminist movement has moved in and trying to tell God that he's a woman. He's not a woman. God's not a feminine in any way. God is masculine. Jesus was a man. He's not a woman and a man. And a man is a man. And God put man at the headship. And a man is the headship of the house. And he can't be the headship of the house if his wife is not at home where she's supposed to be. She's got two heads, and one of them is not her husband. Titus chapter 2, and I ain't going to preach on that tonight. But all these things tie in with the last days. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Then the sun and the moon will be turned into wine. And when one of them will be turned into darkness, the other will be turned into blood. That's the end time signs. Read it. It's in Joel, it's Acts chapter 2. Oh, we like that part about your sons and your daughters prophesying. Why is it it's all about the women prophesying and they never mention my sons prophesying? You should think about it. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm preaching truth. The son, and listen to me. The devil would like for you to think that that sun has already been turned into blood, and they say, or the moon. And it said, because it turned orange, and it looked like blood. Now God said it's going to turn into blood. If God said it's going to turn into blood, it's going to be blood. It's not spiritually. It's not because the moon looks like a different color, or the sun looks different. It's exactly what God said it's going to be. If it's not real blood, then Jesus' blood ain't real blood either. Because it's the same word. He said blood. Jesus shed his blood for my sin.
with his blood. And it wasn't no spiritual thing. It was literal blood flowing from his body to wash away our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If there is no blood on your sins ain't washed away. The Bible says, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places. And famines, oh, we've heard that all our lives. Why do you think all these things are happening? Why do you think down there in Haiti, why do you think God came in and done that? God is a long-suffering God. God is a merciful God. And God could have totally annihilated them at one time. But he showed his mercy and his kindness to those people. They are devil worshipers. They do voodoo. And yet the long-suffering of God Almighty, he spared those people. Why? To give them another chance to look up. Yes, he did. God gave them an opportunity to get right with God. Amen. Just like he did. Listen, Sodom and Gomorrah, you look in the back of days, the Bible teaches about, and that as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the second coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. I'm telling you, when God said, so shall it be, it's here, honey. And I'm telling you, when he said, so shall it be, that means we're right here watching it happen. And I fall right in front of our face. We're not raptured out of here. We're not going to be raptured out of here. The Sodomites are going to come banging on our doors. They're going to find out you're a Christian. They're going to bang on your door. And they want to rape you. They don't care about your daughters. They want sodomites. The lesbians are going to be the ones that try to get your daughters. You know what God said? The world, the people of the world are smarter than his sheep. God's people send their children to a God-hating school, and then they expect God to keep blessing them. And you can't wonder why, but you know why the children are like they are. They got reprobate thoughts, and they bring it home. You know why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. And it was in the days of Noah's Lot. In the days of Noah, God destroyed them because of their filthiness and their perversion and their sodomy and their playboys and their penthouse. And their raping and their molesting and their incest and their false God worshipers. Well, the judgment of God is coming on America, honey, and you better wake your eyes up. And you better start preaching inside your church and let them know it's coming, honey. You're not going to be raptured out of here. Look around and smell what's going on. It's here. I heard a guy, like I said last time, he wanted to argue with me. I didn't want to argue. I was preaching out the streets in Alabama. Oh, we're going to be raptured out of here before. Really? Then why ain't we out of here? Why are we not listening to me? The Bible says great earthquakes. They're here. Distress. In diverse places. We got famines all. We got pestilence. We say pestilence is just bugs. We got Ebola. There's a possibility of life. We got cancer, man, like running like wildfire. Everybody's getting cancer. Why? You ain't going to blame that on the devil. I blame it on man and his sin. God gave us space to repent. God said it's time to repent. God said repent. God said repent. God said open up your eyes. Lift up your eyes toward heaven and repent of your wickedness. God gave space in the book of Revelation. He was burning it. He put the plagues on it. He put the wrath of God on it. And he still showed mercy. He still showed his kindness. Yes, he did read it. He said he scorched men with heat. You know what they did? They turned it from the nose of his God. The Bible says, and they repented not. That where we're at in America today. We brought that piece of heart out. But God is putting judgment on this wicked place. And great earthquakes and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Wait till you see hell balls, man, as big as your house. But we hadn't seen anything yet. Are we going to be resting out of here? No, we're not. When God pours his wrath out of this place, I believe we'll be gone. But until then, this ain't the wrath of God. This is prophecy that is going to be fulfilled because God said it would be like this in the last days, the last days. And we are living in the last days. I'm telling you, we are there today. Your president hates God. You got the Muslims fighting against this country. And God just might turn them loose on us. Just like he did Israel. Because Israel didn't want to obey God. Israel forgot about God. And God turned somebody loose on them. And great signs shall there be from heaven. Man, I said this 20 years ago. There are going to be some of the greatest, biggest earthquakes you ever seen in your life. Listen, look around. Look at the potholes and the ground caving in and sucking in houses and sucking the ground in the highways in. All these things are going on. All these things are Bible prophecy. All these things had already been prophesied over 2,000 years ago. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, or in other words, before these things, if these things have gone on, he said that they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. I'm telling you again, I prophesied years ago, and I'm telling you again, they're going to pass it along because of stinking Obama and all the other reprobates that are in our country. They're going to pass a law that says you can't preach in the name of Jesus. You're going to find out whether you're going to be raptured out of here or not. Just hold on. They shall lay hands on you and persecute you. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Send it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. Don't sit there and get worried about it. When people come up against you and you're preaching in the name of Jesus and you're witnessing in the name of Jesus and you're telling us all about Jesus, even the Muslims. Hey, you ain't got to meditate on what you're going to say. God will give it to you in that time. The Holy Spirit of God will be speaking through you. They shall lay hands on you and persecute you. Isn't this amazing? Oh, we're going to be raptured out of here. Then why are we still reading this? Why are we still preaching this then if we're going to be out of here? Settle it therefore in your heart. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God will fall on you when it's time, when it's God's timing. Hey, why do you think that people were killed over in these other countries? Why do you think them other Muslims, there have been Muslims killed. They've been tortured. They've been persecuted. For the name of Jesus Christ, they still haven't denied him. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost of God indwelleth in them. And the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, is speaking through them. And God gave them a boldness. We talk about the Book of Martyrs, but I like the Book of Martyrs in Hebrews chapter 11. We always try to find something better than the Bible. We always try to find some better martyr than who the people were in the Bible. Hey, they walked the path before we ever did. And they're the ones that ought to be preached about. Jesus Christ ought to be preached about. His faith. Amen. And his strength and his power and his love for the church.
All your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. They can't fight against the Word of God.
Hey, I've had people come out there on the streets and I'm sitting out there preaching. And I sit there and talk to them. They can't handle the Word of God. When God gives it to you and the Holy Spirit of God is flowing from your mouth and from heaven, they can't resist it. They're against it. They can't fight against it. They're dumbfounded. You got to get to the point in your life that you know in whom you believe. Lord willing, next week I'm going to start preaching. I don't know how long it's going to take, and I hope I can make a sense. And where you understand what I'm trying to say, I hope I'm doing that tonight. But I'm going to preach, and I'm not a sinner. I'm going to back up the Word of God. We get defeated when we're sitting there thinking, I'm still a sinner, man. I'm still a sinner. I got saved, but I'm a sinner. Now, you either got saved or you're still lost. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am a son of God. Not then, I am a son of God now. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to be a son of God. The day I got saved, I became a son of God. Hallelujah. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Some of them might even get saved. Some of them just might get saved. Because they can't gainsay nor resist the Holy Ghost of God. God just laid it out there on them. And ye, now here it comes now. Get ready for this. This is the Bible. And ye shall be betrayed. Oh, my goodness. Why? Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll be like Joel and his wife. You shall be loved. You shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Amazing. It's amazing that God put that in there. He didn't say you're going to be loved. He didn't say they're going to pat you on the back. You know the ones that get patted on the back are false prophets. Read it. You know, the world starts speaking well of you. You got a problem. Huh? For the Bible teachers, he said so today about the false prophets. They talk well of them false prophets now. They like it when you pat them on the back. They like it when you speak smooth things. They like it when you tell them how much lovely they are. They like it. Why? That's another end time sign. I read it from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want sound doctrine. They want teachers. They don't want preachers. They want someone to teach them every week. Listen, it's easy to sit under someone to teach all the time. Yeah, it is. It's real easy. But when you get to preaching and you let the Holy Ghost of God preach through you, they start getting a little nervous. They start saying you're judging. They say that you're too mean. They say that you're too loud. They say that you're too soft. They say that you're not. You just need to kind of back down a little bit. They say, don't you carry this a little bit too far. They say, just not let you be judged. That's what they say. When you preach the word, you preach truth, you tell them about their adulteries and their fornications and their lying, cheating, stealing, killing, raping, and robbing. You tell them about it. But if your church is serving God and your church has faith in God and your church is faithful, you tell them that too. You hear me? Just like in 1 Thessalonians. They didn't have to say anything to them because they heard of the faith of that church. You know, a lot of times preachers don't have to go in there and scold and rebuke and reprove. If the preacher in that church ought to see their flock what they're doing, but the problem is the preacher sees the flock and they're not walking right. That's why a lot of times you wonder why do they always get on that? Why do they always preach that? Because you on him. They got faith. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. Man, if that ain't the truth, it is the truth. And some of you shall that cause to be put to death. Ain't that just wonderful? Like the thing we saw, did it make you just want to run out and be a Christian, don't it? They're going to beat you up. They're going to lie on you. They're going to betray you. They're going to have things in their life that you don't even know about, and then all of a sudden, man, everything seemed like around you just caved in, man. And they're the ones coming against you. They've rebelled and rebelled to the same sin as the sin of witchcraft. People around you that you love, and people that you surrounded yourself, that you thought they loved you, but they betrayed you. They turned their backs on you. They sold your soul for a candy bar. And they're going to do it again, and again, and again. How can you walk together and let that be agreed? If someone's around you, listen to me. Hey, God will show you their true colors. He will. He'll show you exactly who that is walking beside you. If you really want to know, a lot of times people don't want to know because they like that buddy-buddy stuff because they say, well, that's my buddy. Yeah, but it's your buddy walking with God. Is their heart right with God? Is their heart set on God? Do they live for God day in and day out? Do you live for God day in and day out? Or do you just play games with God? Do you use God as a spare tire when things go bad you call on God? Let me tell you something. God ain't listening to you. He ain't a spare tire. That's where this whole church thing has got it all messed up. You think that you got God wrapped around your finger, and you don't. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. When? When? When we're in heaven? When? When does all this take place? I mean, we're rapping out of here before then, right? That's what I've heard. We're rapping out of here before. Really, well, why is it taking place? And I'm alive. And I've gone through the tribulation period. I see what's going on. We're hated. Well, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, for his name. Why do you think the Muslims are cutting the heads off of Christians? They hate Jesus. I got a video out there I put on my Facebook account and talking about that one Muslim talking about Jesus was mentioned in the Quran and Jesus was mentioned more than Allah or Muhammad. Let me tell you something. The Muslims have been taught to lie, too. That's the first time I'd ever seen that. I've read some of the Quran. Not a whole lot. I've never heard of anybody saying that Jesus is in there, and I'm going to have to study it more. I'm not saying it's not. But I tell you this, honey. I saw a guy that was a Muslim. He got born again. And let me tell you something. He wasn't saying nothing good about Allah, and he wasn't saying anything good about Muhammad. That man was bragging on Jesus. I know I got a testimony of another Muslim is called Faith Under Fire. That brother got saved. His family deserted him. His family threw him in prison. They persecuted him. They pulled his toenails out. They pulled his fingernails out. They persecuted that man. They tortured that man. They done bad things to him for the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to throw this out there, people, and I'm not trying to be ugly. But I'm going to tell you, like I said the last time, I'm going to tell you again. He was persecuted for Jesus. I've never heard anybody, and I might be wrong on this, but I've never heard anybody else that's ever been, said, man, I got persecuted for the name of Yahweh, Yahshua, or any other name someone's come up with. That's funny, about they come out in, what, 1980s or somewhere around there, maybe even later than that. Now, all of a sudden, you know, everybody wants to do away with the name of Jesus, but that Muslim said Jesus. He spelled the J-E-S-U-S. He called on Jesus there in his house. He hated Christians. He was taught to hate them. He was taught to torture them. I got my denied Jesus Christ, and he kept calling on Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is no other name under heaven. There's no power in any other name. No power. It's amazing when you preach on Jesus how much power there is, and how much the Holy Ghost will stir. Every time I hear someone talk about Yahweh or Yahshua, they're always back under the law. We're not under the law. You start stepping away from Jesus, you're going to get back in there. The law was written in our minds and our hearts, is what God says. I have the law written in my heart and my mind, and I know what to do and what not to do, but I am under grace. My sins were put under the blood of Jesus Christ when I repented and asked God to save me. Works under the law can never save you. That is Bible. And the only way you can live under the law is to deny the New Testament. You hear what I'm saying? Man, we follow some of the law. We have the law written in our hearts and in our minds. We follow the Bible. The law was our schoolmaster showing us and teaching us and showing us our sins and telling us about Jesus. All these things come up to Jesus. Next thing you know, you're talking about Yahweh and Yahshua. I don't know why I'm preaching on this, but I'm going to put it out there, honey. I'll tell you this. You get into that, then you start sacrificing. Yeah. But you're hypocrites. I'll tell you this, I studied it, I've looked at it for many, many years. I've got to. You don't follow the law. All these people say they follow the law, you're lying. Do you follow the Levitical law? Huh? I don't think you do. He sacrificed, well, we can't do that because we live in America. I heard that. I actually heard that with my own ears from somebody telling me, we don't do that because we live in America. I thought the Bible said when you told me to obey God rather than man. Well, you know, no. Get off that garbage. We either obey God or we don't obey God. Not by our works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Huh? Yeah. Hey, man, I want to know, do you follow the whole law? Because the law, listen, the law wasn't just the Ten Commandments. The Levitical law. Do you follow it? I bet you don't. I shouldn't say bet because some Pharisee out there says, hey, Larry, she ain't bet. No, let me rephrase that then. So your pharisaical mind will stop. I'm pretty sure of this. You don't follow the law. When your wife is on her period, does she sit in the church house? Woo! Yeah, go back and read it. She's not allowed to do that under the law. Hello? That blows you completely out of water there. That's right. Hey, when Jesus came, he came one time forever for my sins. He's done away. The Bible even teaches we're not under the law. We obey what God tells us. They are not saved under the law. No man was ever saved under the law. I don't know why I got on all that, but it did. Praise the Lord. Aren't we happy still? We are going to be persecuted. We are going to be betrayed. We're going to be betrayed by parents, our brethren, kinfolks, and friends, and some of you shall be called and be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed without armies, then know that your redemption draweth nigh. Huh. Why would he Say, then you're, excuse me, let me go back and read that. They know that the desolation thereof is nigh. They let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. That's nigh. It's not happening. It's coming. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the day of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Who is he talking to? Huh? The saints of God are still here. Even then he was telling them, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. In the last days, the last days wasn't when they were, when the disciples were here. The Bible said that as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be. Now we're in the days of Noah and Lot. The days of Noah and Lot had already passed on when Noah was alive, and then Lot came along and God destroyed him because all the sodomites and the perverts and the baby molesters and all the sickos. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. Why? Because of their perversion. Because of their putrefied, ungodly, reprobate state. I believe they all went to hell, too. You can believe what you want to, but I believe everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah went to hell. I believe in the days of Noah and Lot. I mean, in the days of Noah, I believe they went to hell. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. I mean, kind of funny how God said that Noah found favor in the eyes of God, and it says he was a righteous man. And don't you think that God would let the righteous get on that ark? And Noah preached for 120 years. Where's the righteous at? Don't you think the righteous would be there? I love preaching. I love to hear a preacher preach. I sit there and listen, and I try to follow what if he's preaching out of the Bible, I'm going to follow what he says. Noah preached for 120 years. Nobody followed him. Ah, well, you know, some of them went to heaven. They did. That was the wrath of God. Amazing. The wrath of God fell, and God's people were still here. Huh? Then here comes Lot with his perversion. Let me tell you something about Lot. That's where a lot of, quote, Christians are today. You like it down there in Egypt. Yeah, you're walling around. You're vexing your soul daily just like Lot did. And when God said, look, it's time to come up out of the cities. Is that what it said? Just not the unclean thing come out from among them. But you're walling around up through that pig pen, and guess what? Your wife might turn and look back when God tells her not to. Or your daughter or your sons. They might look back when God says it's time to get out of there. It's time to get up on out of there. I'm telling you. The Bible says, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Huh. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Hey, the saints, they saw, who's he talking to then? He's telling the disciples that, hey, look, man, you know, I'm telling you this, but, you know, the saints of God aren't really there. They're gone in the rapture, you know, but I got to tell you this because it looks good. No, they're here. Listen, think about this a minute. But woe unto them that are with child. And to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles
sure like using swords, you know it. They're wicked, cruel, ungodly reprobates walking this earth. And you tell them I said so. I don't like them. I don't trust them. I've got God. I'm saved. I'm not worried about it. And I will preach to them. And I will be in light when I see them. I will talk about Jesus. Matter of fact, I live by a bunch of them, and they know me. I ain't just running off at the mouth. I know where I stand with God. I know in whom I believe. I'm not afraid of man. They can't do nothing to me that God don't allow. If something happens to me, because God allowed it. I'm his son. But God said in the last days, it's going to be tough. And he wasn't talking to the disciples. He's talking to us. He was telling the disciples what was fixing to come to pass in later years. We're not raptured out of here. We're still here. And we're still preaching. And even Jesus, when Jesus said it, if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. If it were possible. And there shall be, listen, here we go again. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the sword, by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, if we ain't there, man, and you show me where we're at. And I'm still waiting. And there's been things going on with the sun. It's been exploding up there in the sky. And the moon has changed colors. But it's amazing this is written here in Luke 21. I'm sorry, I didn't think I told you where I was at, but I'm in Luke 21. And it says here, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. And then we talk about in Joel, and he talks about in Acts chapter 2, when he talks about the sun and the moon. And he talks about these are the last days. These are the end days. These are the last days in the end days. And in the moon and in the stars. Oh, my goodness. Do you know we had another star, almost a big one, an asteroid or whatever, almost hit the earth again? But you know what? God let it miss. But one day, then men's hearts, and there shall be signs in the moon, in the sun, in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And then! Huh? And there he will see him. Huh? And there shall be signs, and men's hearts failing them for fear of what they're seeing, what's going on. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Hell, the hellfire hit the earth. I'm talking about God is turned everything will lose. Now listen. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. That means we're here. Right? Unless I'm reading this totally wrong, I didn't go to Bible college. I don't have no faith in Bible colleges. I don't need your big long words. I don't need your big definitions. I got the Word of God, and He says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up and lift up your eyes or your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amazing God put that in there. Now, who is He talking to?
If we're going to be rapted out of here, then who is he talking to here? The saints in heaven? Amazing. It shows me a picture. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. That word nigh means it ain't coming yet, but it's on its way. Your redemption draweth nigh. He didn't say you're drawing, your redemption is now. He said your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand, or nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. We're not out of here. We're still here. I'm not saying we're going through the great tribulation period. I'm talking about we here during tribulation. We're talking about persecution of the church. We are going to get it. God is not going to let us just walk into heaven because we're America. Because we were born in America and we got saved in America and we think we're better than all the other Christians, and you're not. Your righteousness is as a filthy rag in the sight of God, just like mine. There is none good, no, not one. If it hadn't been for the mercies and grace of God, you would go to hell just like I would. Got too many preachers walking around like peacocks, man, thinking they're beautiful as they can be, and they're nasty as hell itself. The kingdom. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. We don't have to walk in fear. I've heard people say, oh, we ain't got nothing to worry about. Our pastor says we're going to be rushing out of here. So we're just going to live our life the way we want to. We're free. We're saved. What do we got to fear? Heaven and earth shall pass away. Let's go back up, verse 32 in chapter 21 in Luke. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now listen to me. If we are out of here, then who is God talking to here? Verse 34 says, and take heed to yourselves. Now, I guess these are the saints in heaven that's already gotten the rapture and got to get out of here. Right? It's got to be, right? I mean, they're not here, man. The saints have been raptured out of here. We don't have to go through any persecution or tribulation, nothing like that. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with what? Surfeiting. Overindulgence, gluttony. Woo, we preach on fatness. Huh? Come on, preachers. Huh? We preach on fatness. Can't get away from the table. Look all around you in America. Buffet all the way. Hey, everybody's going to buffet. I go to them. I ain't going to sit there and tell you I don't. I love the buffet. Huh? But look at our society. Look at America. Man, we got everything. And we're wasteful as we can be. We waste everything that God gives to us that's good. We waste it. And then people can't stop eating because it takes over them, just like smoking and drinking. It takes over them. And lust and the pornography on the internet. Yeah, I know your preacher ain't going to care, but I will. If you can't stay off that computer and sit there and when you're on that thing and you're all wrapped up in that pornography thing, go outside, shoot that stupid computer. If you can't stay, if you're on the internet and you're all wrapped up in that pornography, get right with God. say you can't turn it off. Yes, you can. Unplug that stupid thing, take it outside and burn it, step on it, run over it, shoot it. Come on! I'll tell you what, I believe pornography is one of the biggest home wreckers in the world. Last that I checked on the stats on the whole thing, that pornography is taking in more money than five major, like baseball and football and hockey. The five major athletic teams. Pornography gets more money than they do. Look at all the families that have been ruined by pornography. Mommy and daddy. Mommy's wrapped up in that pornography just as much as daddy is. If you call yourself a child of God and you're wrapped up in that and you can't stay out of it, burn your stupid computer. Tear it off. Get a sledgehammer. Get on your knees. Repent to God. Turn from your wicked ways. That's the only way God's going to heal America. He ain't going to heal America by praying. God's people can't even get that right. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their land. God's got four conditions, not one. You can pray all you want. Your sinners pray. What? Yet God don't hear the prayers of a sinner. That was one of the deals I'm going to bring up next week. He said you're still a sinner after you get saved. You might not be saved because God said he don't hear the prayers of a sinner. But people pray. I was a sinner praying. I was a Catholic. I prayed. Hail Mary, full of grace. Our Father, which art in heaven. You're going to see some stupid idiot in the box. That's what Catholics do. I repented one day, May 25th, 1984, and I tell you what, God saved me and changed me. I walked away from that garbage and that filth, realized that I had been in sin. And God didn't hear my prayers because he don't hear the prayers of a sinner. But America and Christians, quote unquote, inside these churches think that God's going to hear your prayers when you're living in sin. Because your lazy preacher ain't going to tell you the truth. A little hireling stands in a pulpit calls himself a pastor. Yeah, I know. This ain't popular preaching. I never have been a popular preacher. I have never been a popular preacher. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. But I have seen what sin does to people. I've seen sin totally destroy families. Tony, turn up! Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion will tear your home up when mama rebels against daddy. You bring the sin of witchcraft into your house. When daddy rebels against God, you brought the sin of witchcraft in your house. When the children rebel against mom and daddy, you got sin of witchcraft in your house. Yes, you do. You've been out there praying and wondering what's going on. And God says you got sin in your home, in the camp. They're sin in the camp. They're sin in the churches. People go to church on Sunday morning. They're watching Playboy all night Saturday. Somebody must be out there really wrapped up in that garbage, filthy, nasty junk man called pornography. I'm talking about women and men. Listen, women got more disgusting than men. Look at Miley Cyrus, perverted witch. Cheated devil. And if you let your children pet in the lap after her, you're not a mother or a father. You are reprobate in the eyes of God. You tell that reprobate lady she needs to get saved, get right with God, or she'll burn in hell with the rest of them. If you like that or not, she is a whore. Just like Marilyn Monroe is a whore. People make Marilyn Monroe this goddess. She was a whore. abuse that word. Brother Wiley, you don't say whore. But God said it. And I'm preaching to the whoremongers too. I didn't know why. Hey, I'm telling you, man, God is angry with the wicked every day. God's angry with them. Listen, in Jeremiah, it talks about that the world, listen, you can't bless. It's not that you won't bless of your sin. You can't. Why? Because you already seared your conscience. These guys watch these football games and these basketball games. He got these cheerleaders out there. They call them cheerleaders. I call them whores. Ooh. Yeah, you don't know I'm talking about my daughter. Good. The Bible says not to prostitute your daughter. The Bible teaches that there's no, listen to me. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to be ugly. But there's no reason for your daughter to be showing her thighs to anybody. There's no reason for your wife to be showing her thighs to anybody. It is amazing. I'm preaching, buddy. Huh? Hey, man, this might be my last night. I'm going to put it on out there. These are the, hey, listen, we're living in the days of nastiness. As it was in the days of Noah, not so shall it be in the second coming. We are living in nastiness. These Christian men, call yourself a Christian, call yourself a Christian woman, and you go out on the beaches in your panties and your bra, and you be out there in your little panties. God, I'm doing it for my wife. You're a lying, hypocrite dog. You're doing it for the other women, and you're causing other women to love that. Now, you better watch. There might be some faggot out there loving on you. Hello? I try not to use that word faggot too much because it's not in the Bible. They're sodomites, but you know what the faggot, you know what the definition of a faggot is? That's a bundle of sticks that's going to be burned. Every sodomite's going to be burned in hell. But let me tell you this. This is going to be a good message. I'm going to get all this money. Man, Joel, Osteen, two dumb jakes even going to write me and send me a big old check. You men and women out there running around in your panties and your bra, repent to God Almighty, cover your nakedness up and start being a Christian. Don't talk and preach about godliness when you're out there running around naked. And you women out there showing your boobs to everybody, you're hanging and banging and walking around. Yeah, I know it's tight, but it's right, honey. Let me tell you something about you godly so-called Christian women and talk about your godly and you show your breath to every man out there. You ain't doing it for your husband. Yeah, I know I said something about it last week, I think, but I can't help it. It's there, honey. I'm going to tell you as God gives to me. I'm telling you we're living in the last days. We're living in the day of ungodliness. The Bible teaches in 2 Peter that we're supposed to live in holy conversation. We aren't just keep our nakedness covered up. When Adam and Eve, they made their clothes, and that wasn't good enough. God had to clothe them because they were still hanging and banging in the garden. Yeah. You ever thought about that? Why did God make them some clothes? Because the clothes they made wasn't good enough. The Bible said the marriage bed is undefiled, and whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. You hear me? The marriage bed is undefiled. It's honorable. The marriage bed is honorable and undefiled and honorable. It's honorable. It's undefiled and honorable. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God don't judge. Hebrews chapter 12 says he does. Praise the Lord. 47 minutes. And I guess we're still clicking along, no noise or nothing like that, praise the Lord. Until your big brother gets in the way and he scrambles it again. Oh, that's going on, man. I know it. And listen, where I live, I want to share this with you. Where I live, there ain't one payphone in this city. No. Because Brother Wally preached on him when I first moved here 6 years ago. I was preaching on Crusade Radio. And I'd go on the telephone because I didn't have a cell phone that would pick up very good out here. So, and I didn't have a landline at that time. And so I went uptown on the payphones. And you know what? This little old town I live in, they took every payphone out of the city. I mean that. Because of me preaching on them. They didn't want to hear preaching. They say they do, but they don't. Nah, they don't want preaching. I got down there after I got done preaching one night on the phone before they took it out. I stood on the street corner right there across from the police station, right in front of this store. God told me to stand there and hold my Bible up. Don't say a word. Just stand there and hold my Bible up. And they wanted to, they was hoping I'd go to jail. There were people in there that told me after a couple of weeks later, a man told me, he said, man, you was that guy down on the street corner. When I said, yeah, I was. He said, man, they were really hoping you were going to jail. And you know the guy that owned that store, the Shell station, I don't care, they're devils, man. But let me tell you, he's a Christian. He is a Methodist. And he sells beer and cigarettes and chew and dip. And he sells magazines that are nasty. But he's Christian now. Oh, he's Christian. He's a Christian. He's a beer-drinking Christian, man. He's a cigarette-sucking Christian. Yeah, and he likes them nasty magazines. Huh. And I guarantee you, his preacher ain't telling him anything. You know why? Because he's putting mega dollars in that church. He don't even show up. He just got to put his money in there. You know what a Methodist is? It's just a watered-down Catholic. Yeah. You know what a Wikipedian is, don't you? All right, let's get back to where I was. I'm in Luke 21. I thought I was going to get to go through these 500 scriptures I got, but I'm not. I guess I'm not going to. But woe unto them that are with child, and I've read that. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth distress of nations. My goodness, if we ain't there now, folks, I don't know where we are. There's every nation is in distress. Look what's going on over in Russia. Look what's going on over there in Iraq and Iran. Look what's going on in America. We got a devil as a president. You do. He ain't my president. Never was. I didn't like him to begin with. I saw what he was teaching. I saw what he was telling everybody. He said from the beginning he likes sodomites and baby killers, but guess what? You Christians run down there and voted for him. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Man, all kinds of confusion, bewilderment. Hey, man, perplexity, man, it's just messed up. Everybody's freaking out. You ever wonder why all these shootings are going on? Because, man, God has let it go. Wow, we're in the last days. People don't know what to do. The nation don't want God. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Psalms 9:12 or 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Hey, listen, this nation is being turned into hell because they don't want God. Men's heart failing them for fear for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And I talk about when they now shoot forth, he talks about the parable. Listen, the fig tree. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves. We're still here. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with satiety and drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That shows me that somebody's still here. Who is it? The child of God. We're not raptured out of here. What does he tell us to do? Watch ye, therefore, not them, not the saints of God in heaven, because they're already watching. They're seeing what's going on. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That shows me we're here. We're still here, man. We ain't gone anywhere. We're going to go through persecution. We are going to go through some times we've never experienced before in our life. Because we got this. God hates pride. unproud to be an American. Huh? I'm telling you. Listen, I went to a camp meeting up there in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's called the UBF meeting. It's really called the Unregistered Baptist Fellowship. And I'm going to call their names, because I think most of them, man, they don't know where they're coming or going. It's all contemporary now up there. You try to warn people about being 501c3 churches, man, you're condemned to hell, boys. You come around my church. I'm one of them. Yeah, I know you are. I'm trying to help you out. But I was in there, and I was in that camp meeting. And they stood up there, and they sang that song. I'm proud to be an American. And, man, the whole church just about stood up. There might have been 10 people that didn't stand up. I didn't stand up. Now, you might get mad at me because I didn't. Listen, I'm not proud of America. I'm not. I'm sorry. I can't. I can't be proud of her. Look at what she's become. I can't do it. You might hate me for that. You might delete me. Praise God. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm telling you where my heart is, okay? I'm telling you who I am. I'm not lying to you. I'm not beating around the bush. That's a problem. Preachers beating around the bush. They don't tell you the truth. But I was in that meeting, but when they started saying, I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I know God. I was up shouting and running, buddy. And you know how many stood when it got to that part about being a Christian? 10 people. The Americans sat down and didn't say a word. I've seen people get so excited about singing about the St. Patrick's flag. They call it the rebel flag. And they got this song down in the South that they sing. And boy, I see them stand up more proud of that song. But I've never seen them one time ever raise their hand for God. I've never seen them praise the Lord. I've never heard them say amen or glory to God, jump up and say, yeah, I'm glad I'm saved. Yeah, for God's people. Yeah, for God. Yeah, for Jesus. Not one time did they ever do that. The boy, when it came to that flag, they made an idol out of that flag. The American flag, too, is an idol in this country. I've seen churches put the, and I don't totally agree with the Christian flag, but they put the Christian flag under the American flag. We say that's the law. No, it ain't. God is supreme. Problem is, you're a saint of God. That this country is higher than God. And 99.99% of people's life in this country, you worship this country more than you do God. I've heard of patriots that told me, turn your back on this one preacher. He was a patriot and he was saved. And they loved him as long as he was found being a patriot. Patriotism. And buddy, when he started telling them, no, look, hey, it don't matter if you're a patriot or not. If you're not saved, you're going to burn in hell. You know what they've done? You know what you patriots done? You turned your back on God. You turned your back on the scriptures. You walked away. You said, no, being a patriot is better than being a child of God. Ain't nothing wrong with being a patriot, but you better be a child of God first. And if it conflicts in your patriotism against the Word of God, shuck it and get rid of it. It's fresh out of the oven. What's that got to do with the end times? Everything. You got your mind and heart in the wrong place. You're not serving God. You're serving man. You made an idol out of this place. You bow down to it. Then the heathenistic school systems, that's part of the end times. They deny Jesus Christ. They don't want God. They would rather listen to some guy that calls himself an atheist. And then the quote Christian parents let their children go listen to this garbage. And they say, I don't like that. Well, get your hind end back home where you belong. And teach your children the Word of God and you teach them, Mama. You be a keeper at home. People talk about, well, you know, the Proverbs 31 woman, you have to read that, honey. I'd like for you to read it and read it and read it. That woman was at home. She never worked for another man. She didn't have but one boss, and that was her husband. Read it. She looked well to her family. Now, listen, I've only seen a few virtuous women. That's right. Very few. And what they do, they're up late at night and they're up early in the morning taking care of their family, taking care of their children, making sure their clothes are clean, making sure their husband has something to eat, making sure their children have something to eat. And then she takes care of her business. Read it in Proverbs chapter 31. Another end time sign, children shall be your oppressors and women shall rule over my people.
Where are you getting all this? From the Bible. Listen, I'm going to show you something here. 2 Peter. I'm still on here. That's 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fain work, through covetousness, and they're going to, listen, they're going to get you to deny Jesus Christ for a candy bar. They're going to offer you all these goodies. They're going to offer you a phone. They're going to offer you a change. They're going to offer you all these things that you've always wanted because you're covetous. And you're going to take them. And you'll deny the Lord. You'll turn your back on Jesus. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, who do you think you are? And deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Amazing. There's proof. They were ungodly. He went to hell. Huh? The ungodly went to hell. Who was the ungodly? Those that didn't get on the ark. Who were the righteous? The ones that got on the ark. And see, even that scripture there, and I won't touch very much on it, there's a distinction between the two. Isn't it amazing that God said righteous, then he said the ungodly? Listen, if you're a sinner, you're ungodly. That means you're not righteous, right?
That's right.
There's a distinction here between ungodly and righteous. And turning the cities of America and Gomorrah into ashes. I'm sorry, Sodom and Gomorrah. Into ashes. Condemned them. Oh, he didn't love them. He condemned them. He condemned them with an overthrow. Making them, now get this, America. Get this, Christian. You can't straddle a fence. Listen to me. If you're out there tonight and you profess to know Jesus Christ and you're living in sin and you're still doing, you're lying. God tells us that if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. You're not sold out to God. And the Bible says you can't serve God and mammon too. You can't serve God in the world. You can't serve the God of heaven and the devil of the earth. You can't serve sin and righteousness at the same time. You can't do it. You're going to love one and hate the other. And most of the time, what I've ever seen, sin wins. If you're weak, you can overcome. You can live a life. So you don't ever sin? I don't believe I sin every day, but I ain't going to say a child of God won't sin. Too many scriptures in here. I'll have them out, Lord willing, next time. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them what? I'm in 2 Peter chapter 2. Making them what? An example. An example. Unto those that after should live ungodly. Don't you think that God is going to do the same thing to here? He destroyed them and made them an example. He made them an example. That if we're going to live that way, guess what? God is going to destroy us. How did he destroy them? With fire. He burned them up with fire. He sent them hell balls of fire. Huh? Did he not? Did he not destroy the sinners? Just like in Isaiah. I'll bring that one out too, Lord willing. God is going to destroy the sinners. So where do you stand? Are you saved or you're a sinner? Are you saved or you're lost? Are you godly or are you ungodly? And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was vexed. With the conversation of Egypt. He was vexed. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I'll park here just for a second. Listen, he was down there, right? Lot was down there where he shouldn't have been, right? He was what? The Bible calls him what? A righteous man. Does it not? Yes, it does. And what does it say? And seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul day to day with their unlawful deeds. Amazing. Lot never lost his salvation. Lot never lost anything that God gave to him. He was still a righteous man. That don't give you a license to go out and live in sin. That doesn't say, hey, well, since I'm saved, no, God. Listen, if it hadn't been for Abraham, God was going to kill Lot. You hear me? Go back and read the story. Abraham, ask God and talk to God. That's why I believe everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities were ungodly. They were reprobates. They went to hell, every last one of them. Because Abraham got down, he said, Lord, will you kill the righteous? Will you pass judgment on them? Will your wrath of God fall on them? And God said, go down there. He sent his angel down and said, Lot, you come on. And Lot wasn't coming out. But because of Abraham, a man of God.
Trying to stay away from the phone, too. That pretty probably loud as can be.
Abraham talked to God for Lot. And what does the Bible say? Abraham said, Lord, if you find 10 righteous people, don't destroy them. You know what? Only 3 came out of there. And his daughters were perverted. They've been vexed in all that filth and garbage. They saw all the sins of the Sodom and Gomorrah. And they've been taught by the public school system. They were taught by where they lived, all the filth and garbage and nastiness. And yet you keep putting your children through all that stuff, and you wonder why they are like they are? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You put your children in the public school for 8 hours a day, and you only give them a Bible a couple hours a night, if that much.
Ten of you don't even pray with your children. Will that keep them there? No. There's no guarantee. But that God gave you a responsibility. Train up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's your responsibility. And what they do after that, once they get older and they decide, hey, I'm going to rebel against you. I'm going to fight against you. Well, you know what they're doing? They're fighting against God. They're not fighting against you. If you've done everything you're supposed to, that you know of, you tried your best with the Word of God, they're fighting God, not you. And God will repay. See, we forget that. We think God is only going to repay to the lost. No, the Bible said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Payday's coming for the child of God, too. Sure, he God will forgive us. Payday comes, though. Yes, it does. God don't lie. You sow a bad seed, you're going to reap from it. Forgiven? Yep. Going to get away? Nope. The thief on the cross, he still died, didn't he? He got saved. Jesus said, hallelujah. He got saved, y'all. I want him to come down off the cross. He paid for his sins. Huh? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. He talks about here with Lot. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust. Now there it is again, y'all. Godly and unjust. Which one are you? Unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these of natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, and they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Isn't that amazing? I think there have been a couple riots in the last couple weeks, right? Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes, I'm going to say some words now here, don't get mad. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling, unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. I ain't going to go into that, but I want to bring this verse out here. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey. Oh, I'm sorry. The dumb ass. Speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. It's been better for them not to know the way of righteousness, and then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. And the reason I said something about that dumb ass a while ago is because I hear preachers in fundamental independent Baptist churches, they won't say that word from the pulpit. They change the word of God. And if I'm not mistaken, the Bible says not to take from or add to, did it not? Because that word donkey is not even in the Bible. Man came up with that. You know, when he changed the word of God, even in the King, you know, they read out of the Bible, King Jesus Version.
They'll change that word right there in the pulpit because they say it's a bad word. Well, it's not a bad word. That's a word that God gave to us. What they're saying it is, and it ain't. What God's saying it is, it is. That's what it is. It's an ass out there in the field. You know that little thing running around out there? You know? This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, this is where we're at. We are in the last days. I've been on the streets. I've been in churches. I've been on the radio. I've been on Facebook. I've been on YouTube. And people say this. Man, I have heard that Jesus was coming since I was a little boy. My daddy used to tell me that. His daddy told him that. His daddy told him that. His daddy and his granddaddy and everybody's granddaddies told them the same thing. And we're still here. This is God's plan. Knowing this first, and I tell them this on the street, I laugh at them. When they tell me that, oh, man, I've heard that since I was a boy. I started laughing. I said, you know what? That's funny. God put you in the Bible. You know that? Do you realize that God gave us this Bible, what, 300-400 years ago? Something like that? And isn't it amazing it's written down in here? The things that are going on, that's why I said we're in the last days. Everything that I'm seeing and I'm reading in this Bible, I'm seeing happening today. Everything. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's dangerous. Men, look, they should be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They don't like preaching. They'd rather go down to the lake and go to the baseball and the basketball games and they don't care about God, but they love Jesus now. They're Christians. But they don't like preaching. At the end time sign. Children disobedient to their parents. End times sign. People hating God. End time. He said that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. This was spoken before by the holy prophets, and they're writing this down. The holy prophets talked about it. Go back and read Isaiah. Go back and read Jeremiah. Go back and read Ezekiel. And we're talking about these days. Go back and read Joel. We're living in the days that God talked about. We're living in the days where it's going to get bad and get worse and get worse. Jesus said, these are the beginning of sorrows. When people hate your guts, when people want to put you in jail, when people want to kill you. It ain't going to be just the Muslims. It's going to be people that call themselves Christians. It's going to be people that go to church, the Baptist, the Pentecost, the Apostolic, the Church of Christ, Salvation Army, Goodwill, all these people. Your friends are going to turn their back on you. Your family's going to turn their back on you. Everybody's going to turn their back on you because they hate God. All men will hate you for my name's sake. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust. And it feels good, honey, do it. We don't need Jesus. We don't need God. We don't need you out here in our campuses telling us about our fornication and our drunkenness. We go to church. I confess my sins to the Pope. The Pope's in hell. Every one of them that died without Jesus went straight to hell. They ain't no propitiator. They're not my go-between but me and God. Jesus Christ is my propitiator. Jesus Christ is my go-between. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Not some stupid man dressed up in a dress, man. Perverted bastards, man, sitting there ripping all these children. Idiots. They're idiots. And you wonder and you pray to God, you Catholics, let me tell you something, this right out of the oven too. You people call yourself Catholic and you wonder, you're saying, I'm asking God, what should I do? Leave that perverted church. Leave the church. Leave it. They're full of hell and wickedness. When I was a young boy going that stinking junk, they never one time told me about hell. But you can go look in their book and it's in there.
Huh? Trying to tell me that man, you go in there and talk to that dumb guy in that box, man? You know what he is? He's a cesspool of sin sitting in there. He is a lustful, no good devil sitting in that box, absorbing all the sins. He's in there lusting. Why can't you tell him of your sins? That's what he's doing. Why do you think they're raping all these children? Because it's all full of sin. Because they listen to your sins. They're deceived. They're all filtrated with garbage. And the spirits of the devil's all over them. I'm not mad. I just preach like this. I thought I was going back off tonight. I try not to get close to the phone. I hope it ain't blowing out everywhere. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Man, I've heard that since my daddy was and his daddy, and I'm a daddy now, and it's still going on, buddy. We still doing the same old, he ain't coming back. Really? Fourteen minutes. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surprising and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you. Whereas, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Where is the promise of his coming? Take heed. That's a warning. That's like these signs. Listen to me. You know, I've seen people, man, we'll be driving down the highway. And you see these detour signs and stuff, man, out there. Slow down. You got to get over in the next lane. And then people just fly by you, man. Man, they're going to get down there before you do. Not watching the signs at all. They don't care. They're going to get down there first. Take heed. And Jesus even said, what did he say at the beginning of? I believe it's at the beginning. He even says, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear the word. In Luke 8, I believe it is. Take heed how you hear. I'm going to preach on that one day. That's about the parable of the sower. I proved just in that chapter right there about being saved forever. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Look out, ungodly. He's bringing fire down on you this time. You have an eye full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. In heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Right? And saying, they're saying, and where is the promise? Where is the promise of us coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. 2 Peter chapter 3. For this, they willingly are ignorant. They're not ignorant. They're willingly ignorant. They want to be ignorant. They want to be that way. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This world is reserved. Do you know what it means to reserve something? That means it's fixing to come. You reserve your hotel room, and when you get there, you know you're going to have your room. God said, the fire is reserved for the day to come. When we go through all these things,
We are going to be suffering for Jesus Christ before he comes. We're not going to be raptured out of here before he comes. No, we're going to be suffering. Before he comes, we are going to be suffering. Not the vengeance of God. We are going to be in tribulation from man. We are going to suffer the afflictions of men. They are going to come against us because they do not want Jesus Christ in the world. See, all these other countries are bowing down to them, and they've already stripped Jesus out of these other countries, and God has turned them into hell. But God's people are still in this country. That's the only reason. But it's coming to us. And God is going to turn it loose on us. God is going to allow them to persecute us. For his name's sake. Just because we live in America and we call ourselves an American Christian, that does not mean that God is just going to allow us to just skate on out of here, honey. No, we are the last country. There's some countries out there hearing Jesus a little bit, but we are basically almost the last country that are still standing strong, some of us are, for Jesus Christ. But there's going to come a day when they're going to say no more. They're not going to care if you preach about the sodomites or the baby killers. They're not going to care. They're not going to care if you preach about the sodomites, the lesbians, anything, the drunkards. They're not going to care. But if you get caught preaching Jesus, that's why I've said over the years and in my studies, I believe we're going back just like it was in the days in the book of Acts. The only time the church flourished at the time in the book of Acts is when the church was being persecuted. Everybody says we want a great revival. We want the move of God. When the move of God, when you'll really study the book of Acts, you'll find out when the move of God was taking place, they were being killed, they were being burned, they were being put in handcuffs, they were being put in jail. If they were, go read it. It's all through the book of Acts. They were being stoned to death. Paul was persecuted. Paul was hated so bad. Stephen was hated because he told the Pharisees the truth. He didn't go up there and say, hey, Jesus loved you. He called them stiff-necked. He laid out there to them, told them how wicked they were, that them and their fathers are the ones that killed the prophets. They are the ones that fought against Jesus. And the Bible said they gnawed on Stephen. They gnawed on him with their teeth. They were taking bits and chunks out of that man's body. And they were stoning him to death. For what? For preaching Jesus. They didn't like it with Peter. They told Peter, get out of our city. Or we'll put you in jail. Peter said, I'm going to jail, honey. That's paraphrasing, but he said, I'm going to preach Jesus. I'd rather obey God than man. We ought to obey God rather than man. It's what he said. And what happened to him? They put him in prison. They couldn't find anything against him the first time. Then they put him in there again the second time. And this one I like. Hey, man, how much time I got? This one I like right here. About these guys talking about, it's wrong for you to be out there street preaching on them street corners. Hey, listen. Peter was on a street corner when they arrested him. Okay? But you're a lawbreaker because you're not obeying Romans chapter 13. Peter didn't obey Romans 13 because it was not for us. The law was not written for the righteous, but for the unrighteous, for the men slayers, for the mother slayers, for the perverts, for the sodomites, for the adulterers, for the liars, the cheaters, the stealers, the killers. That's what the law was written for. Not for the righteous. But Peter was put in jail. And the first time they beat him. They sent him back. You know what they've done? And you know what I loved about the church where Peter was? They were rejoicing, man. They said, praise God, Peter, praise God. They rejoiced. And that God would let them suffer just a little bit for him. They were rejoicing. But I could see the church says, oh, you lawbreaker. Pastor, you shouldn't do that. Peter said, I'm not going to stop preaching in Jesus' name. I'm going to preach it. They put him in jail. Who got him out of jail? The angels did. The angels came and woke Peter up, walked him right out of the jailhouse. Where was Peter when they found him? Back on that same street, on the same street corner. The angels put him right back on the same street corner, buddy. You hear me, Baptist, Pentecostal, Apostolic, you people that are against street preachers? They put him, the angels of God, put him right back where he was. And what was he doing, honey? Y'all talk about Jesus and Jesus' name only. But you ain't got enough in you to get out there on that street corner and preach about Jesus only. You got it in your church. You got the Holy Ghost in the church, but you ain't got him on the outside the church. I got the Holy Ghost of God in me everywhere I go, just like Peter and them. Yeah, they went back to the same spot. And you know what? I can hear you Christians, quote, unquote, I call you religious people. You shouldn't be doing that. You're a rebel against it. That's not the law. Let me tell you something. If you study about the law, the Constitution of the United States of America has never been united, but what they call it, the United States of America, what is the law supposed to follow? The Constitution. Any city, state, or county, anything that ever comes against the Constitution says you can't preach in your city, that's against God. Romans 13 does not pertain. And besides that, Daniel knew that the king signed a decree. He wasn't supposed to be praying to some other god. But he said, I'm going to do it. He told him to the face. He saw, I saw you sign a decree. And you know what? Daniel went home anyways and prayed, didn't he? Daniel saw them, and he was right there. And the king saw him standing right there when he signed the decree. He told him, they're not to be praying. And to no other God. Daniel did. You know why? We ought to obey God rather than man. People, we're living in the last days. Church, get ready. I'm seeing it all over the place, man. I'm hearing some preachers. Hey, you might not believe it now, but you will. You're going to find out. I'm hearing from preachers that it blows me away by some of them. And I think, well, these guys are pretty elite, but they're preaching. They're telling their churches, listen, you better get ready. We are going into a time that is going to be awful, but it's going to be a blessing. It's going to find out where the rubber meets the road, as they say. You're going to find out whether you really love God or not. God already knows, but you don't. But you will. I believe the most of you, you're going to sell God out for a candy bar, for a honey bun, steak sandwich, for a hamburger. You are going to sell God out because God is not your Father and Jesus Christ is not in you. You've never been born again. You need to repent and believe the gospel. If you're not saved, you need to repent and get right with God tonight. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I can't see you. I don't know who's listening, but God does. God knows your heart. God knows whether you're saved or not. You know whether you're saved or not. The Holy Spirit of God will tell you. And you know it. You know you've never repented of your sin. You know you're not following God. Oh, you're religious, but you're not following God. Pharisees were the same way, and the Pharisees went to hell. Well, praise the Lord. I'm Brother Wally, and I hope you're saved. If you're not, my goodness, what are you waiting on? If the Holy Spirit of God dealt with your heart, repent. You need to repent and get right with God tonight. Listen, if you're a child of God, hey, you need to be praying and fasting. You need to be praying and fasting. And stay close to God. Get in that Bible. Stay in that Bible, man. Ladies out there that love God, hey, you got families, pray for them. Stay close to God. It's going to get tough. You might still say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, that's fine. The scriptures say different. So, like I said, well, folks, I'm Brother Wally, and we're probably fixing to be going off the air here in a minute. And we got 1 minute. We'll be hearing the song, I think, here in a minute. But anyways,
like I said, I hope you stay tuned every week and join us next week. All good. Jesus' name.